There are clearly more incidents that have happened in recent years, and we're seeing a deterioration in the security landscape.
Some people might say we're in the midst of a cyber war.
The term cyber war may be a little bit misleading, because then you start thinking about militaries in terms of who should be involved, whereas the real focus needs to be on resilience.
Welcome to this IMF podcast. My name is Andreas Adriano. In this episode, how countries need to join forces to strengthen their financial services against cybercrime and cooperate against a threat that can come from anywhere at any time. We'll talk with three leading cybersecurity experts who spoke to officials from more than 50 countries in a recent conference hosted by the IMF.
My name is Timur. I'm the co-director of the Cyber Policy Initiative at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and lead our FinCyber project focusing on cybersecurity and the global financial system.
My name is Silvia Senabre. I'm an IT expert working for Banco de España in the Department of Banking Supervision.
My name's Chris Wilson. I'm a senior financial sector expert for the International Monetary Fund.
Over two-thirds of global financial institutions have reported an increase in cyber attacks the last 12 months. One recent law enforcement operation started in Spain busted a cyber gang operating in 15 countries and required coordinated efforts from half a dozen countries, the FBI, Europol, and various private companies. To fight this threat and create a safer financial system, international coordination is essential. Cybersecurity is a policy issue, not just an IT issue. So thank you all for being here. Chris, let's start with the basics. What's the IMF interest and involvement in cybersecurity issues?
The role of the IMF in helping countries deal with cybersecurity issues is really to bring together jurisdictions to share experiences, essentially to facilitate capacity development. And the workshop that we're at today is probably one of the best examples, where we have over 125 participants from about 50 jurisdictions, and really trying to share the experiences that supervisors have in building cyber resilience.
You do a lot of capacity development work on cybersecurity around the world. What is the most common issue that countries come to the IMF for help?
The first most common issue that countries have is how to tailor international frameworks to suit local circumstances. And the second is really, what type of questions to ask firms. What should they be expecting in terms of firms' capacity to meet cyber risks?
Let me bring an example of something that happened that everybody in the world heard about, is this hacking to the Bangladesh Central Bank some years ago. It's probably the biggest, most famous example of countries' vulnerabilities. Almost 4 years after that, has the world learned enough to prevent this from happening again? Tim, let's start with you, since I understand the Carnegie Endowment has done some work on this area.
The Bangladesh incident in 2016 was clearly a wake-up call for central banks and ministries of finance around the world, and it highlighted that the risk landscape had evolved. Cybercrime has been around as long as the internet, but now we are seeing more and more different actors working together, and the Bangladesh incident was a good example of that. So there is, I think, a risk of avoiding blaming the victim, but looking also at some of the sources. But the best response is to increase the resilience of the system. And a lot has happened in the last 3 years, but we would describe the current landscape at Carnegie as a fragmented landscape, that hopefully the next step is figuring out how to take the best practices and lessons learned and creating a strategic alignment in the coming years.
Silvia, you shook your head vigorously when I asked whether the world has learned enough lessons. What do you think still is to be learned, in your view?
Well, I think we have learned a bit. Indeed, it was, as Tim mentioned, a fantastic opportunity for us to raise awareness among our own management board and also amongst banks. But still, we are not at the level we would like to be. Unfortunately, we continue seeing the same kind of incidents happening in banks all around the world, and not only in developing countries. So this is something we should be able to contain to a certain extent, but we need to work more on that.
Obviously, countries have different levels of preparation and different difficulties to face with. So give us some report from the trenches, and since this is often called a war, what have you encountered? What's like the direst situation you had to face with, Chris?
So, you know, some of the circumstances that we've encountered when we've undertaken capacity development with our countries has been one where the jurisdiction doesn't have any type of regulations or a supervisory framework in place for both operational risk, but then also for cyber. And also a circumstance where actually risk management itself is not well embedded within the institutions. So really we're sort of working from a building blocks approach. So trying to go in and develop operational risk standards and to complement those standards with supervisory frameworks for reporting, off-site analysis and also on-site examination. And a lot of this entails training for staff. So that many of the supervisors that we encounter, they've got great experience in credit risk and market risk and those typical type of risk areas. But operational risk is one of the sort of newer areas for many supervisors, and particularly cyber and operational resilience is really an extension of that.
So that's another topic that is frequent in this conversation is like the global reach of all of this. And it's been characterized as a war. Tim, you work in the intersection of cybersecurity, geopolitics, and financial stability. Do you agree with this characterization, or is it maybe a little too exaggerated or not?
There are clearly more incidents that have happened in recent years, and we're seeing a deterioration in the security landscape. The challenge with words like attack and war is that they often evoke pictures of people dying or physical damage, which 99% of cyber incidents do not do that. And particularly if we talk about cyber incidents in the context of the financial system, it's with respect to virtual impacts. It's that a system is down, unavailable, potentially the integrity of data may have been manipulated, which is something that a lot of people are worried about that thankfully hasn't happened yet. So I think the term cyber war may be a little bit misleading, because then you start thinking about militaries in terms of who should be involved, whereas as a matter of fact, this requires a lot more coordination between the financial authorities, law enforcement is often involved, but the real focus needs to be on resilience, because in many cases you may not know who's actually behind an incident, whether it was intentional or accidental. So for most countries, the first priority ought to be resilience and strengthening the resilience of the system.
So I understand one of the big topics in this IMF conference was better information sharing between the public and private sector and between agencies in different countries. Is there a lot of work to do in this area?
Yeah, I think so. But there are many different kinds of information sharing. One thing is sharing threat intelligence information or exchanging experiences without disclosing excessively confidential information or information that could put an institution at risk. You have to be cautious with that because it's really sensitive information. It's not something you can just publish on a newspaper. That would be quite irresponsible. But on the other hand, you can learn so much from the other. So what we see is an increasing trend of the private sector to share information amongst them without us regulators or supervisors being present. They feel more comfortable without us, to be honest. So actually, when they have an incident, they cooperate. They don't compete. They share information. They offer help once to the others. And only after the things have been solved or fixed, then they are more prone to share with us.
Let me bring another topic, which I think it's fascinating, is the how technology and policy are interacting in so many different ways and different spheres of government and private sector activity. And just looking at this small panel here, we have Tim is a political scientist, Chris is an economist, and Sue is a computer engineer by formation. So it's, it reflects the complexity of the issue. And I wanted to ask, from going from one area to the other, what was the hardest thing for you to master? And second, what's the most common misconception you encountered in the other side? Chris?
Yeah, so, you know, making the transition from a generalist to a specialist was a real challenge. And I think, you know, filling the skills gap within cyber is a real key challenge for the sector generally. For me, I started out as an economist, and then I went into banking supervision. And within banking supervision, you're introduced to the sort of the principles of risk management. And from there, you know, I sort of transitioned into operational risk and then more recently into cyber and also fintech. So for me, I think one of the key ways to succeed, I think, has been to always come back to the principles of risk management. And I think if you apply those to this topic of cyber, then I think that's always a pretty good sort of building block.
Well, indeed, I tend to agree quite a bit, because when I joined the central bank, I had already worked for private banks, but I had to learn to look at things from the perspective of a supervisory agency, which is completely different because you have to look at it from a risk management perspective. So you lose the focus so much on the technical details or on the technical aspects, and you need to learn how to prioritize what is more important for risk management. And that's a completely different mindset. You have to leave a bit the technical side, not ignoring it, of course, but you have to move to a higher level of abstraction and think of risk more globally.
Tim, you aggregate in your job three different areas that some people spend their entire lives working on only one of them. What do you learn from the crossing experience?
So there are clearly areas where different worlds collide. And for the last 4 years, my main focus has been on the cybersecurity questions relating to the global financial system. So part of the role that Carnegie plays in this space has been as a convener, actually drawing on the relationships we've built with cybersecurity policy professionals, and then over the last several years with experts in the financial policy world, and bringing those together, particular post-Bangladesh. And then on specific topics, we develop research and try to develop ideas that hopefully will help advance the conversation forward. So in many ways, think tanks can play different roles, and that's also what makes it so exciting that you have these different worlds collide and come together that otherwise you wouldn't.
Do you still come across the notion that cybersecurity is something for the IT guys?
So we've come a long way in the decade that I've been focusing on cybersecurity. And the best example that I can think of is if you actually look at, for example, a country like Sweden that has an explicit goal to move to a cashless economy. And if you look at a country like Kenya, where you have M-Pesa and a digital financial service, and the two are very similar in terms of how their financial systems are evolving, which just shows how cybersecurity is actually bringing the world closer together in that respect.
You just mentioned M-Pesa in Kenya. How much of a problem is cybersecurity for developing countries where technology might be still in an infant stage?
A lot of these countries are going to leapfrog to digital financial services. Managing this transition is going to be a major challenge. At the same time, it provides an opportunity to use these financial inclusion initiatives to educate their population about basic cyber hygiene and how to protect themselves. At the same time, they also face a challenge in that many of these organizations are going to be less mature than others and may present soft targets for criminals and other entities to actually target them. And then third, there is a skills gap that a lot of these countries face, and actually having the people that you need to develop security products and to ensure that institutions are able to protect themselves.
Yeah, I think the moment you use technology, of course you are dealing with cyber risk, no matter what level, because as Tim said, even if you are at an earlier stage of development, you can be very attractive precisely for that reason, because your defenses are also at a less mature level. But on the other hand, in some of these countries, they may be also facing basic issues affecting their resilience, like having a stable telecommunications or power supply, which is not always the case. So if your whole financial system depends on having a good telecommunication network, because this is your business model, you don't have brick and mortar branches, then what happens when these telecommunications are not working? And in some of these countries, they may be an issue.
Chris?
Yeah, I think without a doubt that the digitization of financial services is having a profound impact on the way that the financial services sector is operating. And increasingly, we're seeing financial sector firms commoditize their IT stack. That is, looking through the supply chain of IT assets and really, using specialist third-party vendors. And the further that process works, potentially introduces a greater amount of risk. The flip side of that is that you might be actually engaging firms that actually have a higher level of security awareness as well. So I think there are both risks of digitizing, and there are also risks of not digitizing.
Tim, you have the last word.
Thank you for bringing the three of us with our different backgrounds together. And as Sylvia said, a lot has happened in the last 3 years, but I think there's a long way to go. And hopefully in the coming years, we'll take what's been learned in the last few years and provide some strategic alignment and challenge in a direction that then, through the IMF and other organizations, leads to greater international cooperation and more resilience for the sector.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Silvia Senabri, a mathematician and computer engineer who works with cybersecurity risk assessment for the Central Bank of Spain. Tim Maurer, co-director of the Cyber Policy Initiative at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and author of Cyber Mercenaries, The State, Hackers and Power. And Chris Wilson, a financial sector expert at the IMF who has visited dozens of countries on capacity development missions, talking about how countries can work together to improve the cybersecurity of their financial systems. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to follow IMF Podcasts in your favorite streaming platform.